Welcome to Career Tools. Today's topic, organizational finance basics. Today, we're going to recommend what every professional ought to know about your organization's basic financial health. Here we go. There are some things that everybody ought to know about the financial health of the place where you work. If you if you want to work there long and you want the company to be successful, that is. But it's really simple though, right? I mean, a lot of people think it's really complex. It may be when you really get into it, maybe it does get
complex.
At least for the vast majority of our listeners, what we're going to talk about today is a great place to start if you have no knowledge at all.
Yeah, and the fact is, our experience, right, is that too many people have no knowledge at all.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, I understand. Some people would say, well, actually, I don't think of my company so much in its financial health in terms of my career. I think in general, they understand the connection, but rather they think of it in terms of their retirement, right? And they think of whether their retirement fund is going up and down rather than its effect on the thing. But frankly, we've heard too many stories about people being surprised by layoffs or reduced bonuses or lack of pay raises or tighter budgets, right? A manager actually tightening budgets based on quarterlies or annuals or whatever. We've heard that too often to believe that enough people are seeking out and learning what they need to know about how healthy their firm is financially.
And it's more than that, because the more you know about the financial picture of your organization, the more cogent you are going to be in your arguments about a particular project you're working on, a particular initiative you'd like to push. To the extent you can talk to executives in the language of executives, the more likely you are to get what you think needs to be done.
Yeah, and for some people, they feel it's hard to connect what they're doing individually to the bigger picture. But if you're a manager, right, for those of you who are managers and are listening, if you don't know that, how it connects, how what your team and you are doing and how it connects the bigger picture, you better figure it out, right? And if you start with what you know, which is already your team and organizational behaviors, how you contribute, and then you get to the top level, you can work your way to a place in the middle and connect it, right? I think that, on the other hand, though, if it's hard to see your connection to the big picture, right? And we will recommend a series of steps over time that'll help you get there. But we also understand that it's hard at times to recognize the impact of the big picture on you until you get those tighter budgets, the flatter pay, the bonus and layoff issues. So.
Good. Okay. So what are we going to talk about today? What are the basics? And give us an outline of what we're going to talk about.
There are really three things we're going to recommend you need to know. And then we're going to recommend three things for how to know it. Actually, need to know, number one, annual and quarterly revenue. So for those of you who just listened to the introduction or just the short 5-minute beginning of the cast, we recommend you know your annual and quarterly revenue for your firm, okay? The second thing you need to know is annual and quarterly profits. A lot of people miss the profit piece. And by the way, a lot of people miss the quarterly pieces as well, right? And then lastly, you need to know, and this is the thing that most people miss if they start looking into the financial piece, is the annual and quarterly industry norms. It's not enough to know your company is profitable or your company made more money than last quarter. The question is how it compares to other companies in your industry. And certainly there are cases where industries are hard to describe and hard to define and so on, but that information is out there. Now, we're also going to make a recommendation about how to know if you're a public company or if you're a small company, or if you're a private company. There are certain things you can do to find out if you're in a public company. There are certain things you can do if you're in a small company or a private company. That's it. Need to know what you need to know, and then how to know it.
Excellent. Okay, so let's talk about one of the first need to knows, which is seems pretty straightforward. You got to know annual and quarterly revenue of your company.
Yeah, I mean, don't you just see, Mike, that we're going to get questions or we're going to get comments from people who are in the business or at executive levels or in financial industry who are just going to say, you got to be kidding me, right? You can't possibly suggest that this is necessary to teach people. They need to know this. Everybody knows this, right?
Right. we're definitely going to get calls and emails like that. And yes, we definitely can recommend this because a lot of people
know, right? Yeah, exactly, right? And by the same token, we're also going to get emails about things that I say wrong. And we completely honor that. We look forward to those emails because we like being corrected. I know I love being corrected, right? But look, if this sounds basic to you, knowing the annual and quarterly revenue of your firm, Now, it certainly feels basic if you're in finance or accounting or investment banking. You're right, right? But as you say, it's basic stuff, and most professionals we talk to don't know it. They don't have it on the tip of their tongue. They can't answer the question, how did the company do last quarter? The answer to the question that we get, how did your company do last quarter, is good or fine or well. And that to us indicates a lack of the understanding of the vernacular, the vocabulary of the financial world, right? Now look, if you already know it, lucky you, right? It's a competitive advantage, right? You have a competitive advantage over somebody else who has equal skills as you if you know this kind of basic stuff at the high level and your fellow professional doesn't know it. Now look, it's not an advantage if this is part of your job, okay? If you're in the financial division of the company and you prepare the reports, the quarterly reports and so on, of course, right? We know you know it, and it is not a competitive advantage for you. It's just part of your job. You know, a guy I spoke with a few years ago said about this very thing, I can't believe people don't know this. They don't know their numbers. We were talking about this for quite a while. I've delayed putting this cast out for a couple of reasons. He said, you know, our margins, our revenue, all this stuff that you're talking about, Mark, it affects our cost of capital, right? And afterwards, this is sort of an aside said during a meeting at a client. Afterwards in this meeting, one of the people at the meeting, a frontline supervisor, and this is a Midwestern U.S. industrial firm, let's call it that, asked me, takes me aside and says, okay, look, I hate to say it, but I don't want to ask him, what did he mean by cost of capital, right? Yeah. So right there, both sides of the spectrum, okay? By the way, cost of capital, folks, if you don't know it, this is not what this cast is about, but cost of capital in its most basic form for public companies is how much a company has to pay in interest to borrow money, right? It costs you money to get money. If somebody's going to lend you money, they're going to charge you interest on it, and that's your cost of capital. And since the stock market is one of the primary ways that public companies raise money, and quarterly and annual revenue and profit performance affect the stock price, surely everybody understands that, right? Those numbers affect your company's cost of capital, your ability to raise money in the stock market. Bad performance means your stock price goes down. Just for what it's worth, performance is historical, right? Your performance is about, anytime you're reporting on performance, it's prior performance, previous performance. But interestingly enough, the stock price is generally about the future, but that's a whole nother discussion, maybe for later in our series. Lower stock prices. If your annual and quarterly revenues and profits are going down, your stock price will hypothetically go down. In principle, it would. And lower stock prices means banks will charge more money in interest to you as a way of addressing their risk that your firm won't do well enough to pay them back their money. And we know, I'm sure that is going to cause nails on a chalkboard for some people, right? That is an oversimplification, but in principle, it's not wrong.
Yeah. But feel free to write anyways if it makes you feel better.
Yeah, that's okay. Look, and look, frankly, one of the reasons I've delayed writing this cast was I wanted to come up with a comprehensive place where everybody could get all their numbers, okay? And I've spent some time looking. I've collected some websites. They don't translate well verbally. And I realized something the other day. You know, we've got tens of thousands, 50,000s, at any given time, I mean, hundreds of thousands of people have listened to some of our cast. Rather than coming up with one place where we think, as the only source of information here, that we can say, here's where you should go. We're going to make some recommendations about where you can go. We're going to ask everybody in our audience to say, look, if you're going to a place that gives you annual and quarterly performance, and particularly industry norms, let us know. Let's put it on the forums. Let's share it with people so people can come and find out where they would go. And once you know, you never have to go back, right? If you're at Procter & Gamble, well, it's easy at Procter & Gamble. You just go to their website and click on Investor Relations. But if you're not at one of those big companies, there are places that aggregate this data, and we know there are people in our listening audience right now who know where their industry norms are, and they can share that with us. And so that's one of the reasons I've delayed, and we want to hear from you about those things, and we'll post them for you if you want to send us an email so that everybody in our community can benefit.
Good. So, okay, so let's go back to knowing the number. So, you know, when it comes to revenue, or if you're in Europe or South Africa, for example, turnover would be a word you'd use to describe revenue. But in any case, however you describe it, we're not talking about, you don't have to be terribly precise, right? You just have to have a rough idea of what the revenue is, right?
Yeah, no, that's something that's interesting. That's like the answer of, well, how did your company do this quarter? Oh, it went fine. It went fine, right? It was good. We had a good quarter. What the heck does that mean? You know, in financial world, oh, we made, you know, we're 4.5% over same year over year, right? Oh, okay, well, that's notably good, right? So you need to know, not roughly, but like it was your checking account balance, how much gross revenue or turnover your firm had in both the previous fiscal year and previous quarter, okay? And here's a good standard for both of those numbers. When you hear the new number at the end of the year or at the end of the quarter, you should immediately know how it compares to that previous year's number or that previous quarter's numbers. Immediately, without thinking about the old number, without looking it up. And frankly, we call this the Career Tools FIG, the financial information gauge. We actually, I used to call it the financial health information gauge, but really it's financial information gauge, FFIG. That's your gauge. If you know the old number, because you studied it for 5 minutes when it came out, and you know this quarter's number, you know immediately when you hear the number how it compares to the old one, and you know inherently that's good or not. Now, you're not going to know it the first time, right? The first time you study this, if you're in a public company, you're going to go out and find out your next quarter's revenue, and you can, of course, get last year's annual revenue and profit, okay? You're going to get that number, and you're not going to know, even though probably there in the place where they report the quarter, it's going to show you previous quarter and previous year's quarter. So Q1 from the previous year, as well as if you're in Q4 now, for instance, yeah, it'll show you Q3 of that same year, third quarter, and it'll also show you Q4 of the previous year. And you're going to start knowing those numbers. It may take you a year to get to have a good FIG in your case, good gauge of the financial information you're getting. And by the way, this is first level gauge, right? It's just the most gross measure you can come up with. But you're over the course of the next year, once you've listened to this cast, if you pay attention to your quarterly numbers, at the end of the year, you'll be able to know. You'll have a year's worth, 4 quarters worth of information. You'll be able to have a good gauge, a good Career Tools FIG of how your company is doing because you'll have been following the numbers for about a year. You won't have it the first time, but after 4 quarters or so, and then having 2 annuals under your belt, you'll begin to get a sense of, was that good or not good? And this is really a minimum required knowledge for any professional. And for any individual contributor, we think, in terms of calling yourself a professional, and definitely if you're a manager.
Now, why is that so important? I mean, wouldn't it be sufficient to know whether or not you're profitable or not? So, for example, I look at numbers at the end of the year, we're profitable. I mean, what else do I need to know than that? We made money.
Yeah. Look, you do need to know how much money your firm made, right? And from that, immediately, right? The moment somebody tells you what the number is, right? You know whether your firm made more money or less money than it did the previous year, previous period, year or quarter, whatever. Okay, but look, think about it this way. Suppose your firm made less money than it did the previous period, even if it was more profitable, okay? You have to know. You really have to know this. That you have to know that number to be able to compare it to the norms we're going to talk about in a second. You need to have some measure. If somebody says you made $5 billion, you know, that sounds like a lot, but it's only a lot if the previous quarter was $4 billion, right? If your company's profitable, like you say, that you might think everything's fine. But if everyone else in your industry made more gross revenue this period than last, and your firm didn't, even though you were profitable, maybe because of the margins in your industry are high, right? You make more money on every piece of software you sell margin-wise than you do on, say, raw steel, for instance, because there are more higher profit margins there in general. But if everybody made more gross revenue while your firm made less gross revenue, it's likely, or at least it's certainly possible, that your firm is less healthy financially than it was, because other companies in your industry are growing. That means the market in your industry, hypothetically expanding. There are some exceptions, but generally speaking, remember, this is the first level of knowledge we're going to share. Generally speaking, everybody else is making more money and you're making less, even though you are in fact more profitable. Maybe you sold a money-losing division or whatever. That generally it would be considered a negative. We'd guess, this is an oversimplification, but we guess that borrowing money for your firm will get more expensive. Your cost of capital will go up. And the thing about cost of capital is if it goes up, if it costs a little bit more to borrow money, your firm is going to have to do better than it did before just to stay even with the market. Because as other people's borrowing costs go down and yours go up, you have to make $1.05 to keep up with a firm that's making $1.03. right? And if you have an equal product out in the market and they make $1.03 and you make $1.05, you'd think, well, okay, that's good. I made two more pennies than them. No, you just stayed even because the cost of capital is such that they benefit more than you do because they're perceived as more financially healthy by the debt and equity markets. Now look, it used to be that really small fluctuations, you know, in large public corporate entities' financials weren't terribly interesting to most of the world, I would say 40, 50 years ago. In the financial markets, it was one thing, but more broadly, in terms of day-to-day, everyday folks, it wasn't that big a deal. But in the last 20 or 30 years, the profusion of financial markets and analytics and stock trading and information and TV channels, right? God, TV channels, has made every number that every small, large corporation makes public in some fashion an interest to someone. And then there are 10 people analyzing it and saying whether it's good or bad or not. And whether it's good or bad, not knowing your firm's numbers when common investors and executives do means you're going to be unaware of potential changes in your workforce and your workplace that may be coming until you're told directly. And in our mind, that means your lack of knowledge. And it's not knowledge that's hard to come by, but that means your lack of knowledge is going to have robbed you of some early warning. And why wouldn't you want to know something sooner? So you can study a little bit more, you can think about it, you don't have to answer, you don't have to suddenly spend all night preparing a new budget for your boss. If you heard that the quarter was bad, you're thinking, okay, in the next week or two, right? You know, I'm going to know I'm going to have to do something different. But if you have a little bit more advance notice, you get a more stable, more complete answer. You know, in other words, why wouldn't you want to be more effective? And I bet you there are managers out there right now, at least one, please write us and tell us if it's true, that are listening and going, wow, you know, I think there have been two or three times in the last couple of years where my boss came to me and said, okay, we got to redo budgets. And now, in hindsight, you look back and you realize this is a trickle down from a quarterly number. I remember when I was a kid, this will sound really lame to people, but it's true. I remember my parents used to sit down at our kitchen table periodically. I don't remember how often. Periodically, and go over the checkbook, right? They would go over the checkbook. They would get out the checkbook and go through everything and whatever. Okay. I didn't realize until I was an adult, until 20 years ago, that periodically was once a month. Every month, my parents sent out and did that. Well, now, as a kid, when I was in school, I didn't think about months. I didn't care whether it was January or February. I care whether it was football season or, you know, whether it was Monday through Friday or whether it was summertime for, you know, summer vacation. But other than that, months didn't really matter, whether it was the beginning of the month, middle of the month, end of the month, payday or not payday. As a kid, none of that stuff mattered to me, right? Good or bad, that's just the way my childhood was. Same thing now. There are managers out there who are going, wow, I wonder if maybe the budget things, and you go back and you look and you're like, wow, yeah, absolutely. But if you know the budgets, things are going well or things are going poorly, you can look at your budget in advance. You take your budget home one evening and you look at it and you go, well, I could probably shave 2% off this if I had to. And then when your boss comes to you and says, hey, I need 3%, you're already 2/3 of the way there.
Yeah. And look, for those of you who are at bigger public firms or frankly, even private firms, right, as well, we recommend that you not only know the company's numbers, but you know your division's numbers as well, both revenue and profit. Sometimes they're not broken out, or sometimes there's corporate overhead that's allocated unevenly across the divisions, and so the numbers sometimes are not meaningful. But when it is, we recommend you know that as well.
Yeah. You ought to know them, and you ought to be able to apply the same basic standard, right? The FIG, financial information gauge. Can you gauge quickly what that number means?
Good. Okay. Now, the second thing you need to know, revenue is one thing, annual and quarterly profits, something else. You got to know those two.
Yeah, you got to know profitability. It's not enough to make more money in gross revenue or turnover than the previous period, right? It's great. Look, there are three states. Revenue is going up, revenue is going down, or revenue is staying flat. There are a few situations where revenue going down is actually doing is a good thing. It's a fundamental strategic retrenchment or whatever, right? Intel is famous for having gotten out of one business into another, and their revenue went down, and then the profitability went up, and now the profits are huge, and so on. But that's rare. In most cases, revenue going up is good. But revenue is not the only story. I mean, you want revenue and profit both to go up, right? Frankly, in the beginning of a period of sales growth, right, if you have a new product or something, in early revenue growth success, let's say, profits are expected to be smaller than average because there are greater costs in the beginning of a new product rollout, for instance, right? In fact, it's not unusual for a new product to come out from a company for it to do well, to make good revenue and good profit, but let's say revenue goes up by 8% and profit goes up by only 4%, it's possible that you could get punished in the marketplace because the perception is, why would you invest in a product that lowers your profit margins? Why wouldn't you just make more of your existing product, sell your existing product harder, make 8% more, and have your revenue go up by 8% as well, or your profit go up by 8% as well? So it's entirely possible to make more revenue and make less profit, right? And that's that goes to the heart of the question of build versus buy, right? Would you want to buy a new division or would you rather build it? And if the new division that you're thinking about buying or building has a lower profit margin than what you're doing now, well, maybe that's not such a smart thing. So overall profitability absolutely matters. It's one of those things you have to know for your FIG. If your firm is bigger than everybody else in your market, but you make 2% profit, while your competitors make 5%, over time, they're going to have more money to invest. Look, unless you're 100 times bigger, right? Not too many companies are. Over time, they're going to have more money to invest in new products than you are, even though you're bigger. And one thing that all this stuff is built on some background that a lot of people listening don't have, and that's fine. So somebody's got to teach it. And you don't have space to spend thousands of dollars to go to an MBA to learn this stuff, right? If you didn't know it, profit this period, quarterly or annually, is what pays for new products next period, okay? Someone else may have said this before. When I was writing this cast, it sort of hit me that it was easy to say. And if one of you have heard it before and you want to attribute it to somebody else, fine. If nobody else can say that, we're going to attribute it to us, right? Our guidance on revenue and profit. Revenue pays for the past. Profit pays for the future. And if you want a future, you have to be profitable.
I'm not going to argue with that.
Yeah. Hopefully we don't argue too much about that kind of stuff. And look, again, you need to know these numbers. Know them, okay? When the number comes out, and by the way, the profit number always comes out with the revenue number, unless there are restatements, and that's a whole different thing. We have to immediately be able, as part of our FIG, to be able to compare it mentally to the previous period's numbers and know what it means. The first couple of times you do this, as I talked about before, you probably won't be able to, and that's fine. But the starting point for being able to do this FIG analysis, right, is knowing the numbers. The starting point from being able to do something that's completely expected and a common thought process among executives is first by knowing the numbers. And that's what this cast is about, is learning what they are. Now, look, another story for me. I mean, I remember one time my dad saying to me, cash is king. I was maybe 18 in high school. And I said, no, of course not. Profit is what's important. You know, stupid me. Took me a while to realize that you can actually be profitable on paper, but not have the cash to pay bills and go out of business, right? And we'll talk about all that later. I mean, there's a saying that sales are vanity, profit is sanity, and cash is king.
Yeah.
We're not going to ask you to know cash just yet.
Yeah. Another reason you want your cost of capital to be low, but.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
If you need cash.
Yeah. Yeah, if you need cash, you might as well borrow it at the lowest possible number you can. Yeah.
Good. Okay. So if I know my numbers, if I know the revenue numbers, I know the profit numbers, I'm set, right? So I can look at my numbers and say, oh, my profit margins were 5%. And I can look at a buddy of mine who we're real good friends. And so we're comparing our numbers. And he tells me that his profit margins are 8%. Therefore, I'm in trouble. My company's in trouble, right?
Yeah. Well, if your buddy's in the grocery business, you're in real trouble, or he's at a really, really good firm. But if he's in software, no, he's not, right? It's not enough to know what your organization's numbers are, or be able to compare them to somebody else randomly. Yeah, maybe you think the numbers are good. Maybe they're bigger. Maybe both profit and revenue grew. But again, if everyone else in your industry grew more, and by the way, they often say grew faster, it means the same thing. That negatively affects your organization's financial health. It's like that old saying when the two criminals get ready to divvy up the money and the boss criminal says the one for you and two for me, one for you and two for me, one for you and two for me. Over time, that really adds up, right? It's not a big difference in the beginning, but you do that quarter after quarter after quarter after quarter, and you always make 2 or 3 less percentage points in profit or revenue than your competitors. Over time, that's going to add up. You need to know what the norms are for companies in your industry. What do fast-moving consumer goods companies, FMCG companies, make in profit on average? what was the average increase or decrease in profit or and revenue last quarter for newspaper or media firms, heavy construction, hotels, large banks, small regional banks, different industry, automobiles, mobile handset makers, right? Forest products, railroads, fiber optic cable manufacturers, software development, furniture, coffee, glass, whatever. Glass, I love the glass industry. I don't know the financials of it. I just know that the idea that you have to melt tin at 450 degrees, I think 455 degrees, something like that, Fahrenheit, because the melted tin has the smoothest surface of anything. That they melt tin, they boil tin and they melt it, and then they float silica on top of it and it forms glass so that the glass will be really smooth. That to me is really, really cool. But all of those different industries have different costs of capital and different profit margins and different revenues and different assumptions about how easy or hard it is to make money, right? So you have to know what your industry norm is, both annually and quarterly. And look, a couple of thoughts on norms in terms of thinking about this stuff. You can't compare different years, right? You can't compare this year's number for your firm with last year's number for another firm, okay? You can compare your firm year over year, and they do that. You'll see that in financials. The whole point of the comparisons, though, are like time periods. Industries have ups and downs. The only comparison worth making is same year to same year in the same industry. And also definitely to your point about staying in the same industry. Just because the whole economy is going up doesn't mean that the rising tide of the economy is lifting all boats equally. You know, in certain markets, a down market is, there are certain industries that are better to be in down markets than others. And perhaps most importantly, you absolutely can never compare different quarters within the same year easily, okay? Right? It's easy to justify. So, you know, the numbers are smaller each quarter, and so there's going to be smaller variations. And so let's just compare previous quarter or whatever. But there are too many industries with too many differences quarter to quarter, and you don't want to do that. Now, after a couple of years of knowing your fig, the Kurtel's fig, it's going to be easier for you to say, yeah, third quarter is always a little bit less than fourth quarter. Our increase year over year is always about this. You can do that. But in the beginning, be careful about comparing apples to oranges. My favorite one is retail. You know, in the U.S., the Friday after our Thanksgiving holiday here is called Black Friday because of all the shopping that happens on Friday. But despite what people think, it's not called Black Friday because some of the commentators says, oh, the stores have been in the red all year and they go into the black or become profitable in one day. I think Black Friday actually came from the Philadelphia Police Department because it gave them all a headache, all the traffic, all the people rushing and the bad weather and so on. That's why they call it Black Friday. It has nothing to do with retail success, although a lot of retail sales are made in that one day, and companies do consider their year to be made or not in some ways. If you had a good year, you could end up having a great year. If you're having a bad year and then you have a bad Black Friday, you're unlikely to have a good year. It's an important bellwether. And if you didn't know that, you might compare Q4 to Q3 and think, wow, things are great all of a sudden. Finally, our new products are taking off, right? But if every year Q4 is twice Q3 and you think, hey, we've got a run rate here, our annual, that we're doubling, right? No, it's not. It's pretty standard. In fact, if year over year in your industry, you make twice as much and you don't know that, you make twice as much Q4 versus Q3. And then in this quarter, you make only four, in this quarter's Q, or this year's Q4, you only make 40% more or 50% more, not 100% more. You don't know that. You're making an unhealthy comparison and drawing an incorrect conclusion because, again, your fig is off because you don't have the right gauge of what those numbers mean.
Yeah, and that's why you always see quarterly numbers, you know, comparative, you know, versus last year. If somebody says fourth quarter growth of 5%, more than likely they're talking about 5% growth over the previous fourth quarter.
Yeah. Right. And you'll see it written as capital Y, small o, capital Y in the U.S. year over year. And I bet you there'll be people who are listening, Mike, who next time they flip on, CNN or Financial News or MSNBC or whatever, they're going to go like, wow, okay, some of those numbers make sense to me now. One other recommendation we do want to mention, because a lot of times there's a paragraph or two with the key numbers in it, and you kind of go, woof, there's a lot of numbers there. One of the numbers you want to avoid is paying attention to early. Not if you get excited about this stuff, feel free to learn all of it on your own and great, and tell your friends. You know, get smart about your corporate financial information health, right? The health of your company financially. One thing you don't want to pay too much to is profit per share. It's a useful number for many people, but right now we're just recommending the basics. And if you're just learning the basics, don't worry about profit per share. The problem with it is that the number of shares outstanding in your firm could very well have changed. And so dividing total profits by the shares out there could give you a distorted view, right? If they sell a lot of shares or they buy a lot of shares, the denominator changes, unless you, of course, keep in your head how many total shares your firm has outstanding, which I can't imagine that anyone listening to this cast and thinking we're smart would do. So now look, that said, if for some reason you aren't satisfied with the very few numbers we're recommending now, we're taking this in small steps, right? Rather than learning another number, spend a minute and read that paragraph that describes the reasons your company gave for its numbers, right? Rather than learning eight numbers as opposed to just these four, I think, that we're talking about, learn what they say, the paragraph that describes what led to those four numbers or those eight numbers, right? So maybe your company sold a division and maybe did a stock buyback. Maybe it made money on a particular investment that it invested in, you know.
These would be called extraordinary items or extraordinary
events. Yeah, they might say extraordinary items, but you know, say a company eked out a profit because of a large investment gain. Well, if your company sells widgets, what that means is if they hadn't sold that stock, you would have lost money. And it would not be unusual for people who know a little bit about finance to say right now, yeah, they sold that investment, maybe not at the right time, to make sure they were profitable.
Yeah, they call it discontinued operations would be
the term
you might hear that referred to. Yeah.
Yeah. So literally a company was unprofitable. It's saying selling textbooks or jeans or loans or cotton or something, but then they did something else that added revenue that was profitable, that got them over their costs. So they ended up looking profitable. But look, again, that's only if you want to challenge yourself and don't spend a lot of time, right? For those of you who are interested, particularly those of you who are high C's but haven't ever applied that high C perfectionist to finances, you're going to want to read the entire annual report. And trust me, over the course of the next couple of 3 years, we'll put out all kinds of stuff about how to read annual reports, you know, budgeting, all that sort of stuff. We just, you know, we don't have time to do everything all at once. So we just want to start with the basics. Knowing these numbers that we're talking about, the basics, is a professional responsibility, but spending hours on them every week, every month, every quarter are hours spent away from our primary responsibilities. And if you're not in the finance world, if you're not in the accounting world, there's no need to do that.
Good. How do I get these numbers? Let's say I'm in a public company. Where do I get these numbers?
Yeah, look, they're available. If you're in a public company, the most likely place to get them is in a financial media outlet like the Wall Street Journal or The Economist, right? There are pages and pages and pages on the web. Look, just Google your company's name followed by annual report followed by quarterly earnings, and you may find any given company's, any given media outlet's one pager when, you know, one amounts to a press report from your company. Even easier is, you know, you'll probably get links to your company's website, which we'll talk about in a second, that'll be, when you Google it, it'll be there, stuff for you to go to your company or other financial information websites. One key, though, I'll tell you, is you don't have to pay for the information. It's a public company. They report publicly. Don't buy some monthly service that gives you the numbers. Now, look, if you're at a public company, your company will tell you, right? If you have a 401k or other corporate pension benefit program, you probably get an email with this information every month. You might not think of it in terms of financial health, in terms of the FIG. You may just think in terms of how it affects your pension. Are we going up or going down? Can we retire or not? And unfortunately, in 2009 and 2010, the answer is often no, right? But look, it's as simple as going to your company's website. If you're a large public company, click on Investor Relations. That's almost always what the link is called. It's either at the very top or the very bottom of your website's homepage. And find your quarterly and annual numbers and annual reports and 10Ks and on. It's a great place to start. And if you want to quickly, you could take a little chart and make a little chart of quarterly and annual revenue and profit. And you could probably get the last 2 or 3 years easily on your website in 5 or 10 minutes. And quite frankly, if you go ask for it, they're going to see you as a potential investor. And they will actually email you the stuff. They'll give you quarterly updates or monthly updates in some cases because they see you as a potential investor. And if they have more investors, people trying to buy their stock, demand goes up, stock price goes up.
Okay. So what if I'm a small company or private company? A little bit more difficult there, right?
Yeah, some smaller companies do share their financials. I wish we had better answers here. We have to do some recommendations. You know, God bless those smaller companies that do share financials with their people. It's much more prevalent now than it was 20 or 30 years ago. One of the reasons in the last 30, 40 years is a book by a guy named Jack Stack, who called The Great Game of Business. He's known as the father of open book management. Now, please, I don't mean to insult those of you who are at small companies where your firm has been sharing their financials for years, you know, 50 years or whatever. Don't get me wrong. In terms of the popular knowledge, Jack Stack is semi-famous for that very reason. You know, on the other hand, I once worked for a firm where I was hired by the founders to run it when they retired. And they told me I would have control of everything but the finances when I was running the firm because they would control those privately.
Oh, God.
It was silly. Like, oh, really? So I'm going to run your company without any levers, huh? Okay, great. Got it. So look, if your firm's numbers aren't made available, the best way to find out is to ask. Ask your boss what he or she can share with you regarding the financials. If you get anything other than a clear no, and a statement of policy that the firm is private, even if you're not given the numbers, it's okay to keep asking, right? If you're told don't butt out, then stop asking, right? If you have a mentor at a more senior level of the company, go ahead and ask her. Look, if you're close enough to the founder, the chief executive, the chief financial officer, ask her. If you get bits and pieces at times, ask, okay, fine. Ask after each quarter and at the end of each year. Right? And it's okay if they say we had a really good year, so you're getting good Christmas bonuses. Sit down with your mentor and say, what is a really good year here? How did we do? Right? If it's a really small company, like 5 to 20 employees or something, ask after a couple of months. I don't mean wait a couple months before you ask. I mean ask at the end of a month, because smaller firms tend to manage more month by month than by quarter. And, you know, unfortunately, if you do work at a firm where it's totally private and nothing is shared and it's not even okay to ask, it's none of your business, and you have an interest in being in management, and it's fairly clear that even managers in your firm don't know, our recommendation is to get your resume ready. I hate to say that. That's probably an overstatement. But let's put it this way. We would not say leave the company. We would say make sure your resume stays current.
Yeah. It's kind of out to driving blind a little bit. Right.
Yeah. And we understand that a lot of people don't know, right?
Yeah. You might be two revenue days outstanding from being able to make payroll, for example, and you wouldn't know it. That'd be bad.
Yeah, exactly. So, wrapping up, hopefully everybody understands why we say you got to know annual and quarterly revenue, you got to know annual and quarterly profits, and you've got to know the industry norms, right? Again, please, rather than us putting out, saying 5 or 10 of them, please email us, let us know. We'll put us in the forums, or you can post them on the forums. Let us know where you're getting some of your data for industry norms and for your company or other companies that you're aware of. Or let's not post sites that charge money, because this stuff is available, generally speaking. I happen to have a friend who works at Taleo, the software service company. And if you go to a website called the Enterprise Irregulars, you can find 4 enterprise software firms, a listing, and these are not firms that report freely, a listing of quarterly and annual revenue. So it's out there. And look, again, this is just the start of our process of helping everybody understand the big and small pictures of finance, of managerial and professional economics, budgeting, and all kinds of financial matters. And at some point, we got to talk about the time value of money, which some people, you know, it's not enough to make 5% over 3 years if your company already makes 5%. Right, you have to make 5% plus the time value of money. Right, so knowing these basics, so starting somewhere. Sorry for those of you who are already past this. Knowing these basics helps you understand more of what happens in your firm. It makes you a better steward. It makes you a smarter professional. It makes you a better future leader. And if this seems really hard, a course or two at a local college might not be a bad idea. Because like it or not, in most places, money is important. Is an important scorecard, and knowing how your firm is doing makes a difference in your career.
It does. All right, my friend. Thank you.
All right.
All right,
partner.
We'll see you.